Welcome to the Men of 8 Gang Podcast, episode 283. I'm Steve Borsch, and I'm on with Tim Elliott.
Good morning.
Graham Thickens.
From the lake, where it's very chilly.
And Phil Wilson.
We're back.
How you boys doing today?
Good. How about you?
Good. Good, good, good.
Got a day of golf planned with my son, so how bad can that be, right?
Oh, fun. Yeah, that should be good. It's going to be a beautiful, beautiful Saturday, so that'll be a bonus, but too bad.
I should say my son, who is bound for the University of Minnesota next semester, so he's pretty excited about that.
He's transferring.
Huh? Yeah, he's transferring.
So is he going to live down there, or is he going to commute?
No, he's going to live there.
Nice.
Are you kidding me? He can't wait to get out of here.
I'm sure. Yeah, maybe I should have a talk with him, though, that, you know, it's really all the fantasies that you have about meeting all kinds of women and all, it's not going to happen. So
unless you join a fraternity, right, Steve?
Well, I did, but still.
Well, you pledged it wasn't the quite wrong as house, good as
Phil. I don't know if you remember that in a fraternity, there's all guys in there.
but
we have little sisters, and then there's sororities that we. Yeah,
there's
stuff
going on with sororities all the time. Tell them to pledge Fiji. Tell them to stay away from SAE.
Yeah, right. Okay, let's not get into a rivalry here.
Graham, I'm sorry. I was going to do a little smoother segue. Graham, we were talking. Did you get over to see the Rise of the Rest presentations with Case?
Steve Case? No, I didn't. I kind of stayed away. I thought that was way too much excitement for me. So I didn't get to Coco till a couple days after that.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Well, there's probably still popcorn. So,
Did it draw a big crowd? Were you there?
I was a good crowd. I was, we work at Coco. So I was running late for the day and, you know, sort of missed the breakfast, and then got caught up in work. So I wasn't able to see, our Ms. Klobuchar, who I really would like to spend some time talking to. I'm not, you know, Steve Case is kind of to me, minor celebrity. So,
he's kind of old news, isn't he? But
That's the funny thing. You know, obviously, working in the tech community, as we do, guys, you know, most of our coworkers are, well, they could be our kids, none of my team knew who Steve Case was.
I was going to say he was all about 1998, 1999.
But
going back way further than that, actually.
Well, you know what though? You know what though? I mean, when he sold AOL to Time Warner, and he's got a net worth now of well over $1 billion.
Yep.
And I think it's like 1.3 or 1.4 or something like that. And he's doing well, and he's trying to give back.
He's doing well. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he is. You know, you got to work for it. But it was an interesting evening. It was very Shark Tankish, There were some good presentations. There were some not so good presentations, but a very diverse group of people presenting. I wasn't able to stay till the very end, but it was well done. It was at the Varsity Theater all day, and they actually did the presentation starting about, really didn't get started till about 3:45 or 4:00. So, and it was a good time. And
how many pitched?
I can't remember. 10.
Okay. And 75F was the
75F.
Chosen.
That was the name of it.
Yeah. They won the $100,000, huh?
And they also won, you know, the Minnesota Cup. So, and I kind of wish they'd spread this wealth around a little bit more, but you know, hey, got a good product. You got a good product. There's not much we can do.
Yeah. About it. Apparently people are real excited about controlling the temperature in smaller office buildings.
They're pretty excited by that.
No, it goes beyond that. I mean, it's an Internet of Things play. So they're, you know, they got it's sensors and so it's not just the HVAC stuff.
I realize that, but their market is smaller office buildings. Apparently there are companies doing that for large buildings. And we know there are things like that for residential, but what do they call it? Nest meets something. I don't know. They have they had a phrase for how they position themselves.
Meet sleep number. Nest oh. meets sleep number.
So it's like an enterprise nest is what it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay. It controls. Small it controls very. You know, the temperature in different rooms and things like that.
Right. But why wouldn't you just use a bunch of Nest thermostats? You know, or
because
the
then you
Honeywell equivalent of those.
Because then you wouldn't be able to get $100,000 of an investment.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, from Steve Case, who from no Steve one remembers.
Case. I would guess they probably are a little more coordinated and orchestrated than trying to connect up a bunch of Nest thermostats.
You think so?
Probably.
Yeah, I think it sounds like it might be a little bit more severe.
There's a good chance of it.
Yeah.
I got to ask now, does Steve Case's firm, what is it, Revolution? His VC fund, do they get an equity position in the company for doing this? Oh, or is he just throwing away money at or throwing money at these startups?
Have you ever known an investor to not get a piece of the action?
Yeah, that's what I wonder. I wonder what the contract says. I think they should put that up in the spirit of true transparency.
As you think about, you know, the Internet of Things play, though, $100,000 is not going to go very far.
No.
You know,
that's a hardware piece, and that's a very expensive piece.
But what they don't say is they all get free AOL email.
That's true. That's true.
Oh, God. That's worth it. Oh, my God.
You know what? I've got a good buddy and a client who I'm working with, someone who has to remain nameless, but is, you guys would know, and he's kind of a big deal guy that's starting a new thing, but
it's kind of a big, he's Ron Burgundy.
Yeah. Ron Burgundy. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
kind of a big deal.
But, both of them have AOL email addresses, and I've tried to, you know, be really nice about it just by saying, you know, you guys, it's embarrassing to see an AOL. I mean, it makes you look really old.
Yep.
Yeah. And both of them are, but that's beside the point. So,
yeah, but they don't need to advertise.
Well, yeah. I mean, it makes you look like you're somebody that got an email address early on, and you just can't figure out how to change.
I always feel like that when I see a Hotmail address as well.
Yep.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
That's almost as bad, but AOL, my God, that's really bad.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Internet of Things, Stacey Higginbotham, who I follow all the time on GigaOM because she really covers the Internet of Things space. Yep.
She's great.
And she writes up some really great articles, has good interviews, and
she's a real geek too. I mean, she actually does this stuff.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Well, she wrote up a really great article about coming this holiday to Best Buy and Target, the Internet of Things. So we knew about Best Buy's Peek Hub, right? PEQ. And but apparently Target is getting into the action because Staples is already in. Home Depot's in, Lowe's has their own thing, and I did not know that Target was that they had an end cap of the Wink Hub and we're moving into the space. They did start to take on LED lights, but nothing that's controllable yet.
How come they're selling it for 50% off?
Are
did
they?
You see that says 50% off? Mm-hmm. I don't know. It says Home Essentials. Maybe that's a cross sell. Maybe that's another deal.
I didn't.
It's
see
on that.
That.
It's on that guy's picture that he put onto Twitter. Yeah.
Oh, but, I see it there.
Yeah.
Well, that looks like a clearance end cap then.
It does, but yeah.
End cap. Got to get the end cap.
Buy one. No, it's buy one get one at 50% off. So they're
really. They're,
yeah, that's what it. That's what the deal is.
Well, that's a pretty good deal if you want to get some wink.
Exactly.
You want to get your wink going. There you go.
Well, there's some wink and
some
quirky. Excuse
me, it's a little early to get my wink going.
Oh, you guys. You know, what are we in high school?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. So what is this wink thing? I mean, who developed it?
You don't know about wink?
No, I don't.
Oh,
wink
man.
Martindale? Are we talking about wink Martindale? Wink?
No, we're not. It's basically, you know, kind of like a smart thing app. It's a it's basically an app that you can connect up to all these disparate devices, and so it's it's an interesting play.
Is it substantially equivalent to what Lowe's and others are doing? Then I mean, is it just another competitor?
Yeah, in a way, but you can't really compare all these because some are hubs and some are not. So some, for example, just use the Belkin Wemo protocols and connect it up with their app. And so you can control the app as long as you're on the same Wi-Fi subnet. So you got to be using the same Wi-Fi router connection to be able to control stuff. But most people are in their house anyway. They're not idiots like me that have three hubs. So, yeah.
Well, you know, and Wink is a thing that works with a hub just like SmartThings. But to keep it local, they also integrate here with the Honeywell thermostat.
Hmm. Yeah.
The Wi-Fi Honeywell Wi-Fi thermostat.
Oh, Wink does have a hub, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Wink
has a
hub. Oh,
okay. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I just saw. Yeah.
All right. Oh, yeah, yeah. So, I see it on their site. I'm sorry.
Okay. So which one is Best Buy selling then? Their own. Their Peak thing.
Yeah, their Peak thing. Yeah.
So they've branded some third-party company's products. Is that what they're doing with Peak?
Good question.
As opposed to, they didn't develop the whole thing themselves.
No, I think they've got an exclusive with Peak because you know Peak's another startup like Wink is.
Okay, all right.
That's yeah. PEQ.
Right,
right. Peck. Yeah, we talked about that. It looked like Peck.
Yeah. Peck. Yeah. Well, and they sell a cloud service at $10 a month, and you know, there's nothing better than recurring monthly revenue in your company. And yeah. Boy, if this takes off for Best Buy and they can start to really accelerate the number of subscriptions they've got. Oh man.
A lot of money. The whole Peak thing just does not, it's that monthly fee. This does not, you know, want me to go down that road. I mean, why would I do that when I could get Wink or SmartThings or, you know, my own with no monthly fee?
Well, because, I mean, take a look at UMA, you know, the telephone box. You can buy the UMA box and have it available, and you buy it once and that's it. You can make calls for free for life in North America. And so that's great, right? You spend $179 for the box and you're good to go. But if you want to have stuff like call blocking, you want to have voicemails emailed to you, you know, those sorts of things, you know, and you also get a second number if you sign up for their $10 a month service. So what they're doing is they're, and then they give it to you free for a month. So it's the puppy dog clothes, right? Here's the little puppy dog. And you come back a month later. No, you can't take it. So that's really the strategy. And I'm sure, you know, Best Buy is going to do exactly the same thing. You know, you'll have all this extra added value, like being able to get into your drop cam and see things from afar without using the drop cam service, because they'll integrate to it.
Well, Peak has their own camera.
Oh, they do. I did not. Yep. Okay. Okay. Cool.
Yep.
Wow.
Well, I wonder how they'll do over the holidays. Will they sell a lot of this stuff?
I don't know. I don't think that normal people are really that much into this, you know?
Yet.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, not yet. Yeah. It's sort of like the smartwatch.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, you go into to Best Buy and people are like looking at you like you're crazy if you're looking at that stuff, because they're like, what do I need a smartphone strapped to my wrist?
Right. Well, a lot of people say that. I mean, I even have family and friends that come to the house who say, you know, when I show them everything and the things you can do, they're like,
let's say,
what,
you have you lost your mind?
Yeah. Wait a minute. You can't walk over and turn the switch on? Well, yeah, if I'm not here, you're right. I can't. So shut up and look and just be amazed.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Because a lot of people, they just, you know, I even have a brother-in-law who's an engineer, mechanical and electrical engineer, both. And he worked for Control Data, and he was in the, where then worked for consulting companies in the computer space his entire career. And he was the one who I thought for sure would just go wild over SmartThings. And so I'm showing him all this stuff, and I'm showing him the Cree LED bulbs and all of that. Zero excitement. You know, it's like,
I can't imagine why.
Now, why would you buy this? Well, I'm saving 8% on my electrical bill. Okay, so you went out, you spent all this money on LED bulbs and everything else, and you're saving 8% a month? Okay.
That's right, ladies
and gentlemen. And the ROI is how long?
8%.
Yeah, but it's only a two-year ROI. And then after that, it's...
all gravy.
Then I'm making money. Then it's I'm minting all
gravy.
Money. Yeah.
But, you know, the analogy to the smartwatch is interesting because there have been a ton of smartwatches out there, and now Apple's coming with theirs and supposedly going to, you know, do big time with their product. It's like, is the same thing going to happen with Apple? What do they call it? HomeKit? I mean, there have been so many plays in the smart home, but will Apple kind of, you know, take it all over when they break out with their product or
They certainly did it with the iPod Hi-Fi. I mean, that's everywhere.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
it is.
Along with the cubes. Mac cubes.
Mac cube. Yeah, those are beautiful machines.
They were. Yeah. So Technovation, I don't know much about this. Who put this in the show notes?
I did. Technovation MN. There's the organization that did the Appapalooza last year.
Oh, it's, that's right.
They're targeting young girls to get coding in the mobile app space. And I just wanted to share that they've rolled out their board, of which I'm happy to say I'm a part of.
I was going to say.
Oh,
really? Yeah. I was going to say, who was that tall guy?
The tall guy. So, it's very, you know that there's always the struggle of getting women and girls involved in tech, and just kind of goes a little bit beyond that STEM concept, and get girls involved in building applications that solve problems that women face. And I think it's pretty exciting.
So you're the token male?
Yeah. No,
there's another one, Stephen Morris.
I'm the testosterone in the room. No, that's, because I think that, it's very easy to get for every one of these organizations to get caught up in the fact that, it's, I think it's sometimes intimidating to people to say, okay, well, if we're going to approach, getting more women involved in whatever, whether it's equal pay for equal work or something like, technology, it's intimidating to conservative males or males to have an entire group of women come after you. So I think it's good to have a balance of everybody understanding the need for better diversity as far as that goes within the technology space.
Well, they should also have a program to teach young women how to be a speechwriter for the CEO of Microsoft.
Yeah.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Nice job. Nice.
We can talk about that later.
No, that's I think that that's I think that's very relevant. I don't see any reason not to talk about it right now.
So. Yeah, he did apologize though.
He did. His as NBC said, Microsoft CEO Nadella's comments hit a raw nerve in Silicon Valley, basically what he said was that women shouldn't ask for raises, that they should just essentially do their job, and good karma will make sure that benefits and remuneration come their way. It's like, what?
Yeah.
So he did a huge humma.
Karma.
But I love TechCrunch's headline too. Microsoft CEO opens mouth, inserts foot on gender pay.
Yeah.
And it's just like, seriously, boy, talk about being tone deaf.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, if you were in front of a bunch of guys, that'd be one thing, but you're at the Grace Hopper celebration, for God's sakes.
Oh yeah.
And she, by the way, my brother-in-law, Len used to work just down the hall from Grace Hopper, and I'll put a link in the show notes for those who don't know who Grace Hopper is.
Was, yes.
And she was a computer scientist and a U.S. Navy Rear Admiral at a time when women were not being recognized, but also B, certainly not in the computing space. And he talked about just how incredibly funny she was, just a really wry wit, and you'd sort of be afraid to go in and say anything to her because she'd come after you, but she'd do it in a really fun way, and she sounds like she was really a delightful person. So,
Well, and if she was in the Navy, the founders of Control Data, William Norris, must have known her well. They came out of the Navy too. Some of them did. He did, I think.
Oh, really? I didn't. I never knew that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Huh. Going back to the, you know, in the 50s, and maybe they were in the Navy in the 40s. I don't know, but yeah, there has to be a tie in there somewhere with control data.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think it's one of those things that, you know, we come down to this, comes back to this concept of why aren't there more women in tech? And, you know, you think about it, actually the amount of women, we were talking about this at the board meeting, the amount of women involved in technology has actually gone down. The percentage of women has actually gone down. Now, you could attribute a lot of that also to the huge growth in technology. So it's just a matter of numbers game. But, It's interesting. I think the way to approach this sort of thing is always about making sure the environment that you provide for working people is conducive for everybody to be there. I don't think it's necessarily a, we've got to force women into wanting to be involved in technology. I think we need to expose them to it. We need to, you know, make a welcoming environment. But sometimes I feel like, you know, I don't feel like I want to have to hurdle over somebody of, you know, better qualifications because I have to make sure my gender balance is right. That's always the difficult part.
Well, do you remember Julie Gilbert Newray? She was at Best Buy for a long. She ran the Wolf program at Best Buy, and now she founded Precious Status, and won the Minnesota Cup and so forth. Well, I went to a talk that she gave with her colleagues at the time at Best Buy and talked about the Women in Leadership Forum, WOLF, which was the program they started at Best Buy. And part of it was there were all these young women who worked in the stores who would come up. She said, you know, every time I go into a store, I'll have a young woman run up to me and hug me because they're getting no recognition and no nobody talks to them. Right. Nobody connects with them. And so
I don't
forth.
See. I just don't and, get that. I don't understand that.
Well, but here was the thing that she said, which just absolutely stunned me, is that nearly 80% of household purchases are driven by women. And that includes consumer electronics. So I know for me, I would buy the 350-inch television that would cover the entire end of our family room, and my wife would just go insane. What are you, crazy? And so, you know, I always try to balance what I'm going to buy. I almost bought a silver receiver and a silver Blu-ray player, and she was like, no, it's going to stick out like a sore thumb. We're not doing that. And so it's really interesting to see that sort of thing. And so as a consequence, when you have men creating product categories or products for women, it's, I know for me anyway, I'm blown away by how off the mark I can be with my assumptions on what women want. Because certainly I'm not, you know, I wear a lot of female underwear at night just as I dance around in the house. But other than that, I have no.
Thank you very much for that image. We appreciate that.
That was a joke. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. I understand.
Yeah. All right.
But, you know, maybe that's the problem that I always have is it because it's not just, you know, for me, I don't understand. It doesn't make any sense to me why you would discriminate against women, why you would not pay women the same amount of money. It's totally lost on me. So when I hear stories of this or I see a comment by, you know, the dork of Microsoft, you know, you think to yourself, how can he even think that way? That's just strange to me. Yeah.
I told you we should call him Nutella, didn't I?
Yeah.
Did I say that?
What? Yeah.
Several episodes ago?
Yes, you did.
Wow. I don't understand. How can that even roll into your head? Hey, here's a good thing to say. Don't ask for a raise, women. What? What?
His PR people must have had a field day, you know, sitting him down and educating him.
Yeah,
I think he got an instant education.
Well, he did from the marketplace and from the internet.
God. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, speaking of shopping and going to stores, Target debuts new retail apps and web services for shoppers. So they're really moving forward quickly, aren't they?
They are. But if you read down in the article a little bit more, you'll see that Julio points out that a lot of industry insiders are thinking that they might have overdone it because they have, what, like four apps now? So, you know, it might cause some confusion with people. And I have to say that I kind of, when I go to Target, you know, I kind of have to think, okay, what is that app that gives me the coupons? And it's not the Target app, the whatever. And then you like look at your apps and you see, oh, it's Cartwheel. Okay. So the fragmentation is the part that might be an issue.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
But they're doing the right thing. And they're making they're making what they do at Target more sticky. I really like the idea of this, this pharmacy app, for instance. I think that's going to really be a winner for them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, speaking of that, have you had your flu shots?
No, yeah. I don't believe in that.
Okay.
Really?
All right.
Yep.
I did.
Okay. You don't believe in that. Why don't you believe in
I
that?
Don't. It's a long story. So I don't want to get into it.
Yeah. Well, until I had the flu shot, I got the flu literally every year.
Yeah.
So I'm happy to not have the flu every year. But
that's always good. Yeah.
Yeah. But the thing that I wanted to mention about that is the fact that I would love to have a reminder pop up to say, because I get my flu shot at Target, the old Minute Clinic that they acquired. I'd love to have something to say, hey, guess what? They're available now. Because, you know, I'm always driving by a Target during the day somewhere, and I could just swing in and grab one, which would be great. You know, it's that kind of thing that I think would be helpful with the apps. They don't have that built into that app. So.
Hey, when you say they acquired Minute Clinic, I thought CVS acquired Minute Clinic. What does Target have?
I thought they bought Minute Clinic.
No, it's CVS.
Oh, they did?
Minute Clinic was the local one, right? That started up back in 2002 or whenever.
Right.
Yeah, that's CVS bought them. So what Target has, which I haven't even really paid attention to, do they use that brand name in their store?
No,
it must be some other entity.
Even though it's highly, highly, highly unlikely, I could be wrong.
What?
Well, I just wondered what they
say. It ain't
theirs.
So.
Well, it's called Target Clinic. Maybe they just knocked it off.
Is there nothing for me to believe in anymore?
Yeah, that would be interesting if they knocked it off, but they might have acquired some other outfit that was doing similar things. Yeah, Minute Clinic was a Minnesota startup.
Right, right.
Cashed out big time in about, what was that, 06 or 07, I think they got acquired by CVS.
Cool. Well, speaking of Target, and Walmart go from matching Amazon prices to undercutting them.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting.
Do you think this is an anticipation of Amazon doing distribution centers and now their own store?
Maybe. I think that the Amazon store will just be a big city kind of thing. I don't think they're going to ever roll out to be like, say, the Apple store is, where they're, you know, all over the country. But in New York and Chicago and L.A. and San Francisco, they make a lot of sense because there's so much density of customer.
Well, and there's so much, like the other link I put in the show notes, there's so much unsold Fire phone inventory that why not do a Bezos Shack?
Oh, God, yes.
God, Rico posts some funny stuff. John Patkowski. Oh, God, that guy cracks me up.
Well, maybe Bezos will buy Radio Shack. Yeah, rename it.
They've got so much Fire Phone inventory.
They're not calling it the Shack anymore. They used to call it, weren't they trying? Radio Shack was trying to rebrand as the Shack.
The Shack. Yeah.
The Shack.
Like an outhouse or something, you know? I don't know.
Oh, God. Yep.
but Bezos Shack is going to be across the street from the Empire State Building. So. Hurry on in.
And I'm assuming they've got a distribution center in New York, you know, in the New York area, clearly.
Yeah. Well, this store is supposed to be a mini distribution center.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You can go and pick up your orders there. Yep.
Yep.
Got it.
It's more than just getting rid of Fire inventory.
Well, they're in England, because, you know, it's so focused on London, they have what they call Click and Connect, which is a mobile based way, or click and collect. So it's a mobile thing where they basically have, you can order on your phone and then you can pick it up at the tube station on your way home.
Hmm. This is Amazon you're talking about?
Yeah, in London. In London, they have like lockers that are in the major underground stations.
Hmm.
So you order on your phone at lunch, let's say, and then by the time, you know, lunchtime or dinner, or by the time you're going home comes around, you hit the locker and pick your stuff up same day. So
nice.
So I would expect something similar in New York with that store.
Sure. Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, so Mayo, speaking of health, or didn't we speak of health? No, I guess we didn't. So,
well,
anyway,
we're always speaking of health.
We don't need to say speaking of every time we segue into another story. Much as we really have, you know, just a nice conversation would be just fine without the speaking of.
All right. By the way, the leaves have yet to turn down in Rochester, Minnesota, the home of Mayo Clinic. Oh, by the way, Mayo Clinic is bringing a medical kiosk to an employer in New York. I think this is
actually Steve Borsch is now writing for the news anchor segues. So.
Well, right. So what they're doing is they've got these kiosks that they're putting in employers, Mayo Clinic Health Connection. And what I think is really interesting is they've got these sliding doors and you can actually go inside so you can have privacy while you connect up with Mayo. And
are they glass doors so everybody can see you pulling down your pants showing something?
No.
There's a picture in the story.
Yeah. We'll put a link in the show notes for everybody so they can see the photo, but not of your behind.
I got this thing on my butt.
Yeah. Well, you know, actually, in all seriousness, that brings up a really interesting point. I helped a
I want to know what point this brings
well,
up.
I talked with a doc. I got to know this doc on the East Coast. It's a long, long story and I won't go into it, but I was helping him with his blog and podcasting and so on. And then he wanted to be able to be the virtual doc for ADD and ADHD clinics around the country and work with clinicians. And I asked him, I said, well, why wouldn't you just do this on your own? And he said, because there has to be somebody that writes the prescription, and I'm not licensed in all 50 states. And also, most importantly, there has to be somebody right there in front of the patient who can see that the patient's eyes are dilated, or maybe their skin is too pink. All things that don't come across on a webcam necessarily.
Oh,
there's just not enough resolution there. Even, you know, even if you had a high def camera, there's nothing like being face to face with the patient. And I thought that was a really interesting perspective. One that until then I hadn't really thought of that. Cause I thought, oh boy, telemedicine, it's going to be everywhere. But Mayo is essentially setting these up so that, you know, if you're feeling sick, if you thought you think you have a sore throat or something, you can go in this kiosk and maybe you can nip stuff in the bud a lot easier than having somebody have to leave work, go to the doctor, you know, burn up 2 to 3 hours. Cause we all know doctors aren't terribly prompt.
Now, what makes you say that?
Yeah, I know.
I know they're not.
Yeah.
But it is interesting how Mayo is really getting more and more into the consumer, you know, the consumer facing kind of stuff. I mean, they are innovating in a lot of different areas and trying new things and, you know, expanding all over the U.S. You know, they've got their major centers, of course, in Florida and Arizona outside of, you know, of Rochester, But they've been doing the consumer health site for a long time now. They you know, their site is, you know, along with WebMD is, I don't know how many hits they get, how many unique visits a month, but it's got to be huge with people going there for health information. And I think that they employ close to like 100 content people down there that work on that site.
Well, you know, it was interesting when I worked for Apple in the 90s, pardon me, after Steve Jobs came back, nobody was handling Mayo. So they asked me to call on Mayo, and Mayo at the time was doing about $4 million a year with Apple. And they were using Macs in the biomedical computing area to crunch data and all kinds of things. And I can only assume that they're, it's ubiquitous down there now. They're doing even more stuff.
Oh yeah. But,
has anybody downloaded their app, their health app?
No.
Is this the newest iteration for,
yeah, the new
for
one.
HealthKit, you mean?
Well, the one that does the integration of all.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So who knows about the app? Anybody?
I haven't really looked into it other than what I've read. Okay. It's still really early days for the Apple HealthKit thing.
The first version of iOS 8 had problems with HealthKit, as you guys
remember. Right. Until they did the second update.
Yep.
It wasn't even active, and that's only been what, a week or two.
Yeah.
So.
Well, the Mayo app looks pretty interesting, and the goal of it is that you can integrate all kinds of different connected health devices with it. So rather than have an app for your blood pressure cuff and another app if you have a little diabetes testing thing and another one if you have your heart rate monitor, yada, 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 and then all your fitness stuff, you can integrate all of that with this app. So the data will work together in concert. And I think that is really interesting. I don't know how well it's executed, but, and then they'll have secure messaging inside of it and all of that. My doc sold his clinic to Allina Health, and Allina has, they use a third party called MyChart.
Right. That's part of the Epic, EHR system, electronic health records. Yep.
So anyway, so I'm going to download the app and just check it out. And
yeah, the good news is it works on an iPhone 4, apparently.
Hmm. Seriously?
No, did you see the picture? It's like an iPhone 4, literally.
Yeah. Huh.
I haven't seen a 3.5-inch screen in a while, so.
Well, yeah. Yeah, really.
So you have to be a patient of Mayo, it looks like, to really take advantage of it. But
sure. Yep.
The only issue that I've got is
You've got issues, buddy.
I know. But, you know, there's the mayoclinic.com site, the website, or mayoclinic.org, excuse me. And they've got all these different areas, and they've got an education area, and so you can link up to all the different sites and so on. But the one thing about their medical advice is, I guess the biggest concern with health is people self-diagnosing. So they'll see something on a website talking about, and they'll go, oh, my God. I have gout and cancer and my missing part of my brain. Oh my God. You know,
are you Kim Jong Il?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, who has at least two of the three of those, apparently.
Yeah.
That's right. Part of his brain and gout.
That's right. That's right. But so that's the biggest problem. But you know, the stuff is almost so watered down to be just useless. And that's what I would worry about with these apps is, you know, they don't want people to self-diagnose. So, you know, is this stuff just really almost too generic for words?
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, they can't be giving medical advice on an app, you know, where they have so many disclaimers that, yeah, you wonder about that.
Yeah.
But you can look at it as a way to bring more people. Well, and if it's mainly serving patients, existing patients, it's a relationship with existing customers, if you will, but it's also bringing more people to the Mayo Clinic, you know, getting their brand out there, you know.
Yep
There's no question about that.
Well, so I did not know, guys, that Symantec had 400 employees in Roseville, and it looks like they're going to get nuked.
Well, they're not necessarily going to get nuked. They're going to get their old name back. It's like Recode says, they're doing this, splitting the company in two. And it's like, oh, okay, we'll call the other one Veritas. They acquired back in, you know, and merged into one company back in 06 or 05 maybe. And saying, oh, it was going to be all these wonderful synergies. And it's like the new guy, the new CEO is saying, nope, we're splitting them apart. That makes the most sense. So the sign on the buildings in Roseville is going to maybe change back to Veritas. It's the data storage backup part of Symantec that's Okay. It's always been there. That grew out of the old control data. Actually, a lot of the original engineers that were involved in backing up data for the old control data data storage business were involved in that company. And yeah, I don't think they're in danger necessarily of getting cut, but it'll be a new company with a different CEO, I assume.
Yeah, yeah.
And the existing CEO maybe will stay with the Symantec part of the business, I guess, the security side.
That's what it sounds like. Yeah. But their consumer business has got to be on a jet ride to hell right now. So,
the security.
I mean, the Norton antivirus business.
That's so old hat, isn't it? Yeah.
It becomes so, you know, it's just not relevant these days.
No. Well, but, you know, the other thing, too, is when you look at Kaspersky, I mean, would you really trust a Russian security company?
Why not?
Antivirus company?
Why wouldn't I?
I don't know. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. God.
So,
gee, I don't know. Why wouldn't you?
Aren't they very smart guys over there in Moscow?
Oh, sure they are. Yeah. And the country has no agendas whatsoever, so.
Yeah, I don't know.
How do you sing Kumbaya in Russian?
I don't know.
Kumbayaski.
Yeah. Oh God. Well, hey, we're going to run out of time here, boys. So we got to go through the other big stories of the week and crank through these. So Tim, why don't you start off?
What stories are there?
Oh, there's a bunch.
There's a bunch of stuff. I thought this would be your security tip of the week. Don't take naked pictures on Snapchat anymore.
No, I actually don't have a security tip this week because we're totally secure everywhere in the world on the internet.
Except if you're sending naked pictures on Snapchat, apparently.
Yeah. Well, so I was thinking about it, but no one wants them. So.
So somebody hacked it, or Snapchat's blaming illegal third-party apps.
Yep.
Yeah.
So apparently on 4chan, there's a bunch of like random pictures, naked pictures that were just taken off the Snapchat feed. Uh-huh. So they must be running some sort of software that's between the edge server and the users, I guess. So they just pull them off as they hit Snapchat servers. Because the whole reason that you'd use Snapchat for such things is that it blows up after a few seconds. But apparently not.
Right, yeah.
Gee, there's a surprise. You mean it doesn't disappear?
No. And even better, it goes right onto 4chan, apparently.
It seems to be 4chan.
Unbelievable.
So it can be preserved for generations to come.
Well, see, one of the things...
Grandma, look at that!
One of the things I couldn't figure out, though, is that they mean third-party apps on the device? Because that would make sense. But I don't know how that would be done. Especially because with Apple, everything's sandboxed. I'm assuming the same thing with Android, right? Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
Android's a little more open between apps, but it seems like that it happened. Well, I guess maybe it is. Maybe it's a third party app that's running on your device, and maybe it's more of an Android problem than it is an iOS problem. It just shows that, you're not safe.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I will tell you that
find a way in to get your stuff.
What I find is most of the, not most, but a lot of the spam that I get that I look in my Google spam folder, has my sister's full name on it, for example, or other people that are in my contacts. And at some point, a third-party app on my phone must have grabbed all my contacts, and it doesn't actually come from them, but it's, it's at least has their name, so it appears that it's coming from them. So, yeah.
Well, beware.
Yep,
beware.
Yep. And HP is going to break up.
Wow. Boy, that's original, huh?
Yeah.
This is another one of those deals, maybe like the Symantec breakup, splitting in two. Now it's becoming very vogue to, you know, split yourself up. But you know what I think? I think this is all about preparing for merging with another entity or acquiring another entity. Like I really think, and it's been talked about, that HP and EMC have been in talks for a long time. And I think this breakup is going to result in some sort of a hookup with EMC on the enterprise side, you know, what they're calling Hewlett Packard Enterprise.
Okay.
I think that's where it's going, you know. And, you know, and when Tim was mentioning the Symantec business, the, you know, the Norton antivirus thing, I mean, like, what are they going to do with that business? Where is the future for that, you know? So maybe they're going to just end up, you know, merging that into some other entity or combining with some other entity to try to survive. And maybe they'll keep Veritas as an independent company. I don't know.
But. Well, but you know what? I mean, you take a look at, I certainly wouldn't want to go to work for the personal computer and printer side of HP. I mean, both of which are downtrending. You know, and the future doesn't look particularly bright for either one of them.
Right.
But yeah.
In both cases, they're getting rid of the baggage that is not going in the right direction.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Just so that the enterprise part of their businesses that are actually doing well can continue to do well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I put this in at the last minute, this article. There's a secretive company in Michigan that claims a battery breakthrough. They've created these solid-state cells that more than double the energy density of today's best lithium-ion batteries. And if you read through the article, it talks about their process, which, you know, who the buzz? I don't know why. You know, they talk about why these are so great and so forth. But apparently there's been a lot of buzz about this company in the automotive industry for quite some time as they've been working on this. And there is a man who has been involved with a Chevy Volt and one of the other categories at GM who sits on their board. So there's got to be some, you know, there's a lot of smoke around these guys. There's got to be a fire or at least some embers that are glowing. And
well, can this be used in handheld devices?
That's going to be their first target market.
Because they talk about
consumer electronics.
Oh, okay. So they talk in the story about, you know, extending electric car range to like 300 miles.
Well, they do that because that's the holy grail, is 300 mile and 25 grand for the company, because the cost will be so dramatically lower and the throughput of the battery will be so much higher. You know, it'll more than double the capacity of the battery in less space for less cost, dramatically less cost. So it's pretty interesting. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah. Hopefully that's true.
Yep. And what else? Next Thursday,
Apple.
Our good buddies at Apple. Yep. They're having their iPad event.
Apparently so.
Yeah.
The Timster.
Yosemite will come out. That'll be the big one.
Yeah.
Roll out, because we just keep getting more. It's like they're sending out beta, you know, GM updates almost daily now. So.
Well, you know what's funny was the big article on Tech Meme about, oh my God, Apple's going to do a gold iPad. Oh, really? And then there's all these leaked photos of how they're going to put a Touch ID on the iPad. It's like, Sherlock.
Kind of obvious. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
what else are they going to do with the darn thing?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So I'm kind of disappointed that the jumbo iPad iPad jumbo does not jumbo. Look like it's coming out.
Yeah.
No, that won't be till next year, apparently. But you know, the invitation says it's been a long time or something
I think they're updating the iMac.
What are they talking about? Is it that, or is it
Apple TV
has been hinted at?
Mac Mini.
You know,
iPods. iPods haven't been updated in 2 years.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Are they going to do something with the iPod Touch or get rid of it or what?
I bet it'll be the Apple TV. I hope it is.
You know,
anyway.
Carl Icahn, who sent another letter to Tim Cook saying he thinks he should buy back more stock and that the stock's really worth double what it is. He dropped in his letter something about the Apple TV, and people were wondering, well, did he break some inside information here, or is he just making pure conjecture? But just, you know, he said something about that they'll be selling huge, huge 65-inch, you know, TVs, which is a lot of people really don't think they'll ever do it, a TV, but.
Well, they might.
I think it's more of an old rich guy trying to get some attention. So.
Do you?
Yeah. A 70-year-old billionaire.
He needs more money.
Why couldn't, instead of Apple coming out with a TV, why couldn't they just partner with TV manufacturers like what happened with the stuff that HP sold off? What was it? WebOS. So WebOS is now in, and Roku, another better example probably. Roku is built into TVs. Why couldn't they build Apple TV into TVs and not necessarily sell them themselves?
Well, and that's what they're doing with, you know, with cars, with the, what do they call it? CarPlay?
Yeah.
So you can
same model. Yeah. So you might get your Apple TV, but it might come from Sony, let's say, right? And they just happen to have the Apple TV built in.
I think they're bringing they're bringing the Newton back.
Except, really? Isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. It's been a long time.
It really has. Yeah. That was a good idea at the time, though. You know,
maybe the Lisa. How about the Lisa?
Yeah, it's been a longer time.
Longer time than that.
No, but didn't Apple acquire some capacity for to produce large displays? Didn't they buy up? This was news less than a year ago, I think, where they acquired some plant capacity that could be used to produce large screens. So I haven't heard anything about that lately, but why would they have done that, you know? And I forget who they acquired it from. I think some Japanese firm or firms. And I forget where the plants were, but there was a lot of hype about a possible Apple TV. Wasn't Gene Munster even?
He was, yeah.
Making a lot of conjecture that this could be coming, and he's kind of quieted down on that now. But now Carl Icahn's throwing it out there again. So I don't know. I think they may have something up their sleeve in this announcement that will not shock people, but it will hopefully be something more than just an updated iPad.
Well, yeah, maybe it will. You know, it would be nice if it was something surprising.
Yeah. One more thing.
Just one more thing. Yeah.
Which the last
That one more thing has got to be, it's got to be more surprising rather than, one more thing, the watch.
Guess
we
knew
that. Yeah. So yeah. That's got to be a little, if you're going to bring back an iconic statement like that, you really got to make sure it's a surprise.
Yeah,
exactly. And I don't know if you can do that anymore, but listen, we're going quite long today. We should probably, hustle through the big stuff. And then, I want to hear what Steve's cool thing of the week is. So,
okay. Let's do the cool thing of the week then.
I think so. Is there anything out there breaking that you guys think is huge that we?
Nah, let's just go. Phil, what's your cool thing?
No, I always start. You guys, somebody else, Graham, start.
Okay, well, mine isn't extremely exciting, but there is a Power to You USB wall outlet. We've seen these before, but this one's kind of cool because it's got two USBs in it. You can get it in three different colors, and it's got little spring-loaded covers on the USBs, so there's no vampire power leakage. What the hell does that mean?
You're gonna have to, this thing's gonna have to do more than give me USB ports for $50 or $45 for two. Yeah. It's gonna have to give me a little bit more than that.
$25 a piece. Well, you get your choice of color. It's a pretty good design. I watched the video, and so yeah. So if you want to update your home to the new power realities, there you go.
There you have it.
Very nice. Timster.
Ambi Climate. It's a Kickstarter right now, and they've got 33 days to go, and they're way over their goal, almost three times at this point. And basically what it is it's a little box that connects to your existing air conditioning, and it allows you to control it with your smartphone.
And are we talking about window air? Is that what we're talking about? Window air or central air?
Works with that. Works with central. It's just whatever you've got. It just plugs in, and it's got this little box that, sort of sits there like a nest, and with all your sensors in it, and then you can you know, use your iPhone or Android phone to control it.
Can't you do the same thing with a thermostat?
You could, but you couldn't do it if you're sitting at work or wherever.
Oh,
you
know what I mean? I see what you're saying. Yeah, okay.
You know what I mean? Like it unexpectedly gets hot or something, and
you don't know.
It's like there's notice it's 85 degrees in your house. You can like say, "Oh, turn that dial that sucker down."
Oops.
And it would do it for you. It's good idea. It's people that got in early. I think this is why they blew past their goal. They're getting it for like, you know, $50. The first 50 people came in. They get it for $50. It's supposed to sell for $150 when it comes out next year.
Got it.
Very nice.
So good deal.
Mine's the Extreme Micro Drone 2.0 with camera.
How about lasers? Can you get one with lasers?
Can you get lasers? what really kind of drew my attention to this is because, well, it's kind of a cool drone for one thing. It looks pretty powerful, and it's got a very small camera on it. I really liked that. And it's the best part was it was on sale this week for $75. Now, I noticed, or Tim noticed, when I put the link in, I didn't even notice it. It is sold out. So it is still a cool thing, but not one you can get. So.
Yeah, I was telling the QFO guys locally that have the quadcopter that's so cool, the way you can control it like a Wii, you know. And and I said, geez, if you could just come out with one that had a camera on it. But to have such a small, lightweight thing, the payload for even a tiny camera was more than they could handle, you know. Mm-hmm. But this one must be bigger, heavier.
Well, one of the things that if you read the comments, one of the things they've talked about in here, somebody says, how long is the average flight on one charge? And it says the battery's removable, so you can pick up more batteries. Flying time is around 8 minutes on a 45-minute charge, and that drops to 6 minutes with the camera.
Yeah.
I'm assuming you can't buy bigger capacity batteries because they'd be too heavy.
Yeah, you couldn't lift it. Yeah,
that's the problem.
Hence the issue with the drones.
Right.
So, and you can lose these things real easily, but $75 is a lot better than losing like a $1,000 one. Like
yeah, exactly.
Like our friend Bill Hyman did.
Yeah, when it augured into a pond.
He augured it in, and I don't think he ever found it, you know.
Oh, he didn't?
No, it was out in the woods somewhere and went into a bog, I think.
I saw another one where a guy was in Wyoming, and he and his buddy were flying it over this hill, and they got it too high. And all of a sudden, you know, and he was recording the video as it was coming off, and all of a sudden the thing just stops in midair and rockets to the ground, smashes on rocks.
Like that too. Yeah. And you see it smashing into the ground. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Anyway.
Place parts for these things, but it can get pretty expensive. Yeah, but $75, heck, I would have taken a flyer on that.
Yeah, I kept going back to it, thinking I gotta buy one of these. So I'm kind of glad it's not on sale anymore.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead, Steve.
Well, my cool thing is actually a website. It's called The Wire Cutter, and they have a sister site called The Sweet Home, and you can go in there. And what they do is they've got a team of people that look at these different categories. I think they've got 10 or 15 people, and I start my hunt here. So if I'm looking for Bluetooth headphones that are great for wearing on the treadmill or outside, you know, and you don't mind them getting sweaty because they're not going to destroy them, I always start here because they will go through and they'll have their opinions on like the top six, and they'll pick the best. And so there's all kinds of stuff like the best projector, the best TV, the best exercise headphones, their favorite smartphones, their favorite weather app for iOS and Android, and blah, 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 blah. So if you're out researching for anything related to electronics and gadgets and so on, start at The Wire Cutter. Or if you're interested in the home, you know, the best bed pillows and the best spatula, the best laundry detergent, blah, 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 go to thesweethome.com. Pretty cool stuff.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. Indeed.
Okay. Nice looking site.
So we have a couple of new events this week, but we've covered everything else. The new one is Mini Hunt version 2. I don't know if you guys know about Mini Hunt. There's a young man that Josiah Golden, who is involved in leading, he organized the group and so on. But Mini Hunt is a product hunt community. And I know that they've done all these past product hunts, and there's these groups all over the country. And they go off on a product hunt looking for a specific type of product, you know, battery packs for your, so maybe they'll use the wire cutter to start their product hunt, but, you know, cars, and so on. I mean, it's kind of a cool concept because you got a lot of smart people then going off and trying to figure out what's the best product in that category. And what else is new? New events.
Well, there's a thing coming up at the Treehouse that's tied in with the National Office of, you know, Health Information Technology. They're coming to town to do a codeathon, but it's a medication management codeathon that's being held at Treehouse with some other sponsors, and that's a weekend codeathon from a Friday the 24th through Sunday the 26th. So that's kind of neat because they haven't been to Minnesota before with this. They go around the country to larger locations, San Francisco, Boston, DC, and so forth. But I guess it's a pretty big deal that it's coming to town here, and they're doing cash prizes. And I don't know how much money they're giving away, but, and I think they can handle up to like 80 participants.
Well, you know why this is so cool? I can't tell you how many times when my dad was alive, that he would go in and he'd have this little printed thing in his wallet that had all his medications in there because it was a constantly shifting thing. And also he took, you know, holistic kinds of medicines. You know, he'd take vitamin D3 and he would take, he'd put arnica on his bruises, you know, and yada, yada, yada. And what's interesting is a lot of holistic medicines have their basis in obviously natural sorts of occurring plants and so on, but a lot of them can conflict with prescription medication. So it's important that everything is in there. And boy, having a way to do that and good apps is key.
Yep. Yeah. So that's cool. Coming up. And then what's this Midwest Innovation Summit, October 27th and 28th?
Well, because there isn't any innovation in Minnesota, they wanted to start that.
Yeah. They're going to get that going, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. So basically what it is it's organized by the Midwest Clean Tech Open.
Oh yeah. I can see that.
And a bunch of partners. Yeah. Yeah. And so it's an innovation summit. They did it last year. That was the first one. Mm-hmm. And, it's sustainability stuff and clean tech and economic development and all kinds of different things. So there'll be speakers and round tables and there'll be a startup accelerator. So it's pretty interesting.
It's an all-day event. No, it's a two-day event.
Two-day event,
actually.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Sounds like a big deal.
Good stuff.
Yeah, lots. It's definitely a heavy month for events, October, for sure.
Yeah. And other than that, we know nothing and there's nothing going on.
No, that's it.
So we'll have to wait until next week.
On. Wait a minute. Let's try it again. Next week on...
The Minivate King Podcast?
Yeah, that would be it.
All right. That would be it.
Thanks, guys.
And this, then sift through the mire. Wake up from emptiness, still feeling tired. Where will you go? Who will you see when the dust settles? Who will you be? It's okay not to be okay right now. It's just a cloud covering the sun, and the rainbow is on its way. The chaos when nothing makes sense. Overcome the illusion and build your defense.